Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
How's everybody doing today? What a gorgeous day out there. It's a little chilly, but I'll take it. Hope everybody's doing well. And my name is Dennis O'Brien. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. I own O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, located at Exit 90 down from Steak Loft. And everybody knows where Steak Loft is. And you people over in Long Island, come on over to Mystic. We've got a restaurant. We got a restaurant business, little renaissance going on in our little hamlet here, and people love to come over on the ferry for day trips, and I love going over to Long Island for the vineyards there. They're absolutely gorgeous there on the North Fork driving in, and just a beautiful, beautiful place. My wife's family originally is from Yaphank, so I'm very familiar with the Suffolk County area and everything else. So feel free to call in today, anybody from anywhere, 860-464-9490. If I don't know the answer or I can't help you, we'll talk later in the week and I'll find someone who can and everything else. So anyway, the title of the show today is Nobody Owes You a Thing. You like that? We're going old school today. Oh boy, I'll tell you. It sounds mean, doesn't it? But that's just the way life is. And so get the kids on board, grandkids on board early, because nobody owes you a thing. But let's talk about the markets for a minute. I want to crow a little bit. The buy-sell ratio. Remember I told you Christmas Eve, we bottomed out. Only 4 positive stocks for every 100 negative. 0.04 was the lowest reading I had seen since October 2012. Guess what the buy-sell ratio is today? 50? 75, 100, 1-to-1 even? No, we are at, right now, as we speak, 1.61. 161 versus 4 for every 100 negative. That is huge. We've gone from 4 positive per 100 to 161 positive per 100. I have never seen anything like it in my life. What that means to you, in English, is that the soldiers are rushing onto the field, and these markets are just waiting. They are already surging, but they are just waiting to surge more. This is huge positive indexes. Everything's flashing green. And if you're sitting in cash, and some of you are, a lot of you are, call me or whatever, or call your guy or your gal, whoever it is, okay? Because I thought this would happen, not this quick, but these days with the machines, things move quickly, so it's hard to time things and everything else and whatnot. Now, probably back in May or June of last year, I stopped buying the millennial stocks. I thought they had gotten into nosebleed levels, very, very high. Companies like Google, Facebook, Amazon, NVIDIA, Apple, they call them the FANGs, whatever. They are the dominant technology companies, okay? And they had gotten into very, very high levels. I stopped buying them. I like the businesses. But you know and I know that sometimes things get way too high. Well, they got beat up the most. They got creamed because they were up the most. And right now, they are still down quite a bit, okay? And I would urge all of you to take a look at them right now, because they are extremely, extremely attractive at these prices. These are dominant companies. They aren't going anywhere. And I feel, and this is my personal belief, that they could double or triple in the next 5 years, okay? Because they are dominant. And I know the headlines. I know they all hate Mark Zuckerberg. I get it. Privacy is a huge issue. Like most things, the market will figure it out, okay? But it was very interesting in the New London Day, they call themselves the Day now, that they had an article on the Obit page written by Mark Zuckerberg. So I'm assuming it's just not in the New London Day, but it's across the country. They released this, and the editors that wanted to run, and he wrote an article about the criticism Facebook has faced and their business model and everything else. And he said a couple of very, very interesting things in the article that I just want to pass on to you guys. Number one, he said, a lot of people accuse us of selling their information. He goes, it does not make business sense for Facebook to sell your business information. It makes sense for Facebook to tell advertisers, we know who we could help you target your advertising, but we don't tell the individual advertisers who you are. We just put it in the algorithm, and then it goes out to whoever expresses an interest in that particular product. So that was very, very interesting to me because I've constantly heard they're selling your information. And he basically said, direct rebuttal, we are not. We are targeting to help advertisers who want to target, say somebody is interested in exercise bikes and clicks for an exercise bike ad. Two competitors want to come in and say, everybody who's interested in exercise bikes, you know, can you target those people? We don't give them the list because why would we want to give away our crown jewels, okay? So it's very, very interesting that he actually went out there and started talking about it because I always thought Mark Zuckerberg's biggest weakness was his lack of PR, innate PR ability, okay? He does not have that innate thing. So I don't know if his underling, who is responsible for that, but whoever it is responsible for that OPED, was very well done, okay? And he needs to do a lot more of it to talk about their business model and what they're doing. And now the shorts came out with another negative article claiming over 50% of the Facebook profiles are phony, okay? Well, nobody can dispute how there are a certain percentage that are phony. We know the hackers friend you and try to get into you and everything else. But 50% would be, like, absolutely huge. So don't pay attention to any of that and everything else. And one more thing. JP analysts attacked GE this week, okay? He basically said, I don't understand what all the fuss is about, why GE has gone up over 9. He goes, they haven't done anything yet, blah, 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 blah. He goes, I think the stock's a $2 stock and everything else. And I'm looking at the, you know, let me tell you something about analysts on Wall Street. This is my personal view is they serve the institutions, okay? They don't care about mom and pop retail investors in my view, okay? So when institutions want to buy a stock, all right, these guys will come on and say everything negative they can about that stock to get what they think are dumb retail investors to sell it so they can scoop it up. I don't know if this guy is doing that or not, but boy, it seemed awful suspicious that he would attack GE when it was down. Where was he when they were 35? And now the stock is 8 or 9 and starting to rebound. All of a sudden, he's all negative. I think these people want to buy it, and I think he's full of you-know-what. So that's just my opinion. Buy the games that Wall Street play, and I just shake my head and go, oh, I've seen this before many, many times. So don't fall for it. It's a bunch of you-know-what. Anyway, my company's O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. If you like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to O'BrienRetire.com. Or email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com or call me at the office, 860-415-9614. We'll be back in a few minutes. And remember, the name of the show is Nobody Owes You a Thing. Be back in a few. Bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien with the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. We have Sam from Westerly. How are you, Sam?
Yes.
How you doing, brother?
Still breathing? Almost 81.
Almost. When's your birthday, my friend?
Tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
All righty.
Laurie invited me in for tomorrow afternoon show.
She did?
Yeah. I'll be in studio.
Oh, that's nice. I just got a weird feeling when you said that because my wife's name is Laurie.
You're Lori Kaplan.
I know. I figured it out. I was like, hey, what's going on here? That's Sam. He gets around. I'm telling you.
You're the last to know.
Oh, I know. That would be. Well, they're not going to call you the backdoor man, are they? Come on. You're funny.
The mailman.
Well, you heard about the German ladies' underwear sale, door-to-door salesman, didn't you?
Victoria's Secret? No.
No. In Germany, there was a story about him back in the 80s. I don't know why it stayed in my mind. But I guess he fostered over 62 illegitimate children through his 20, 30 years going door-to-door selling ladies' underwear.
Sounds like Rothschild.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's get back. What's on your mind today?
I got a little story I'd like to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, can I bring it up in the air?
I don't know. It depends on what the story is.
Okay. All right. Well, it gets around it. But when Napoleon was at war with, was it England?
Yeah.
And... And I guess at the end, Napoleon had lost, but nobody knew it yet. The Rothschild, I guess by carrier pigeon or whatever, communications the fastest was at that time,
yep.
Got word to England, and the England press put out a story that Napoleon had won.
Yeah.
So there was a run on the bank, I guess, and all the banks went kaput.
Really? They wouldn't do that, would they?
So then the next short period, when everybody found out that Napoleon had really lost, that's when Rothschild went in and bought up Bank of England, pennies on the dollar.
Wow, isn't that something? I wouldn't doubt it for a second. I wouldn't doubt it for a second. That's amazing.
Then England had to go out and create. They created the second bank of another. Bank of England,
right?
But that's where the Rothschilds really got started in their quest for domination of world money supply.
And if somebody had shot that carrier pigeon, then maybe the world history would be different. Hey, thank you, Sam. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All righty, great story, Sam. I love it, love it, love it. Just goes to show you how crazy things are and everything else. So anyway, the Federal Reserve, what are those guys up to? As you know, I roasted them for the last two rate increases in October. And in December, I thought they were morons at the time. They announced this week they must be getting nervous because the boys at the Federal Reserve have announced that they are going to slow down selling out their securities portfolio. So why and what does that mean to us? And what that means to us is that the Fed... When they sell their securities, they're taking cash out of the system, and then what they do with the cash is they put in that big bad vault down in Wall Street area, that big building that looks like a castle. So the fact they're not going to start taking cash out as aggressive a rate as they were is very, very bullish for the stock markets, okay? That's what it means. It means the Federal Reserve is going neutral and maybe positive, okay, because they were way too negative. So they're nervous. Which is good for us because that means they won't be raising rates, hopefully, anytime soon. Okay? Now, something else is going on out there that I think people are missing. The Europeans, okay, and the Chinese have both given indicators that they are going to do something very bullish for the markets. And what is it? What are the Europeans and the Chinese going to do? Well, they have announced they are going to start printing more money. They're going to loosen up the monetary reins. Europe's a mess. You've got these yellow jackets in France going after them. You've got Hungary poking at them. Craziness in Italy. You got a lot of craziness going on over there, okay? And they're loosening things up because they're very, very nervous. The elites are very nervous in those countries. And the Chinese are loosening things up, and they are starting to print more money through the system. And that really, really helps. Now, how does this help us? Well, what's been the worst performing asset class in the last 6 months to a year? Oil. Oil's been horrible because the use of oil has gone down or hasn't been growing the same. Price has gone down. The indexes have gone down. So I am doubling up my positions in the oil indexes because sooner or later, as that cash fills through and economic activity rebounds and factories get going again overseas, okay, not here, but overseas, watch out. I think oil will rebound big time. So keep an eye on that index. If you want more information, contact me. But I am buying more of it because I think that's coming and everything else. So, you know, the things I want to talk about next are why nobody owes you a thing. And here it is. I hear a lot of people come to my office, probably had about 10 client meetings this week, prospects coming in. And this morning I woke up and it was just in my head, nobody owes you a thing. And this is, I'm probably going to put it on the wall of the office. Number one, nobody owes you a living. That's up to you. So you read these papers and politicians are promising something for nothing. Nobody owes you a thing. Nobody owes you a living. Nobody owes you a great job. That's something that's up to you too. One way or the other, you work toward it or create it yourself. Nobody owes you a debt-free life. Boy, I'll tell you, Dave Ramsey does a fantastic job helping people get out of debt. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have come in that took the Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. And if you know anybody in debt, the biggest favor you could do is steer them to that Financial Peace University. That thing saves marriages, saves lives. I think a lot of suicides are due to financial distress, okay? And I can't tell you how many of you have taken that course, gone through it, have straightened out. I probably high-fived three people this week in my office when they came in and said, I got this, this, this. I go, all right, tell me about your debts. I got no debts. High five, high five, high five. So happy when I hear it. So happy I hear it. And let me tell you why. This week alone in the O'Brien household, we got four credit card solicitations, two banks mailed something out on line of credits, ads on the TV, radio, credit, credit, credit. All right? This is the most profitable industry in America, okay? And the most destructive. And the most destructive. And they purposely aim it toward our kids, our early adults that don't know any better, okay? I can't tell. Every time I see these solicitations, I just rip, 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 you know? I realized how many we got just this week, okay? So nobody owes you a debt-free life. You're going to have to be aware of what they're doing, and you're going to have to fight them every day. Every day. Every day. You can't control what comes in your mail. You can't control the commercials on your TV or the letters from the bank offering you more equity line of credit. You're going to have to fight them every day. Nobody owes you a debt-free life. Nobody owes you a nice car, okay? I like to buy a new car, but I don't want the debt. I don't want the debt. I want to take that car payment, and I want to automatically pay myself every month instead of paying off some darn finance company. I wanted to curse, but I won't. Nobody owes you a nice house, okay? One of the richest men on Mason's Island, I asked him his story one time. He rode up through the corporate ranks, was a vet back in the 50s. And he said, the first house we bought was a triple-decker. My young bride and I lived on the first floor. We rented out the other two. He goes, you see me with this, you know, multi-million-dollar house on Mason's Island. You think, here's a rich guy, trust fund baby. He goes, no, my first house was a triple-decker in New Britain. And we built up our equity. We paid it off, paid it off, paid it off. We used that to buy a bigger house and then a bigger, and we worked our way through. Nobody gave me anything, he said. I worked. I planned. And my wife and I worked together as a team. And we had monthly budget meetings. And we really, really pulled together. And when I lost her, I was lost. Okay? But, you know, that's, you know, nobody owes you a nice house. All right, here's my biggest complaint of all. Nobody owes you a college education. Parentheses, not even your parents. Nobody owes you a college education. Okay? Hey, if your parents can afford it, great. Grandparents chip in, great. If they can help you and everything else. Well, you are not owed that. Okay? If your parents don't have the financial means, don't pretend they do, and don't pretend that you can go into debt and pay it off, because you'll be on the couch at 29 years old wondering why. You'll be on your parents' couch at 29 years old in the basement wondering, why the heck didn't somebody tell me ahead of time? So I'm telling you ahead of time, if your parents don't have the financial means to pay for college, okay, you'll figure out another way to do it, okay? The smartest ways I see here is to go to community college, or you go to Avery Point, you get a job. Avery Point's $8,000 a year. All the credits automatically go to stores. Then you go up to stores and finish up and drive the stores if you have to. Nope. And the second rule is, nobody cares where you went to college unless you went to Harvard, Yale, if you're engineering, you went to Clarkson or Worcester Polytech. It does matter, you know, in some cases like that. 95% of the cases, it doesn't matter where you went to college. If you finished, great. Your first job means a lot more on the resume than where you went to college. Believe me. I talk to people in HR. I have clients in HR. They tell me these things. That's why I'm telling you guys these things, okay? Nobody owes you a college education. Parents, don't fall for it. They're 17, 18. They're as dumb as boards. They're listening to their friends. They're all bragging about where they're going to school. Don't get caught up in it, okay? Don't go broke getting caught up in it, all right? Anyway, if you like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to O'BrienRetire.com. If you'd like to sit down for a meeting, you can meet with me anytime. I don't care how much money you have. I'm here to help you one way or the other. So feel free to reach out. You can call me at 860-415-9614 during the week, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks for listening to the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 FM News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. The name of the show is Nobody Owes You a Thing. And boy, is that true. And the last one I did when I kind of went off on a rocky rant was Nobody Owes You a College Education. Nobody owes you a worry-free retirement. Guess what? You're going to have to plan. And I know most of you do. But some of you think, oh, I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to live for today. I'm not going to live a long life. But what if you do? What if you do? Nobody owes you a job. Nobody owes you a job. You got to go out and get it. Huh? Nobody owes you a job. Nobody owes you a living. You're going to have to provide. You get married, have children, have babies. You got to provide for them. Very simple. Nobody owes you a living. Nobody owes you free food. Okay? You have to go out. You have to feed your family. You have to go work. Nobody owes you free medical care. Medical care costs money. Now, you can pay through it through taxes if you choose to as a society to do that. But it costs money. Okay? And what people don't say about socialized medicine is the systems with socialized medicine are slowly but surely going to a free market system because they're going broke. Or the care is so bad because of the lines are long. I was reading a story on Facebook about Irish have, you know, the socialized medicine. Somebody died. They didn't get the care in time. That's just the way it works there. A lot of problems with the socialized medicine. There's a better way to do it, okay? Nobody owes you citizenship. You cross the border and apply for asylum, that doesn't mean you're a citizen. The millions and millions of people that have applied for citizenship, gone through the system and done it the right way, it's a dishonor to them. It's a dishonor to them. Nobody owes you citizenship. Nobody owes you love or friendship. All right? You're lucky if you have it in this life. It's something to be cherished. But you're not owed it. Okay? So if someone... you like someone, they don't like you, that they're free to do that. You're not owed love or friendship. So I don't think you are. Surprising how many people think they are. I'm always amazed when I hear the stories. Nobody owes you free anything. Okay? Somebody offers you a gift, it's a wonderful thing. Okay? But a gift is a gift. If they owe you, you don't owe them back, but if you chose to reciprocate, that's wonderful. Nobody owes you a freedom. Nobody owes you freedom. Ask a soldier. Okay? Our freedoms are hard fought, hard won. There are a million, not a million, but a lot of dictators out there that would love to kill us, hate our freedoms, hate us, hate our debates, hate everything about us, and because they're jealous, because we have the best system in the world. Nobody owes you freedom. Nobody owes you an election win, even if you hate the winner. Okay? Whoever you voted for in 2008 and your guy lost, or 2016 and your person lost, I said person, okay, you're not owed an election victory. You're not owed anything. So stop acting like you are. And if you don't like things, help the other side. Do whatever you can. In our system, that's the way it works. Nobody owes you a bull market. Markets go up, markets go down. Last 3 months with a 20% correction was brutal. Just because you're starting to buy stocks and starting to invest doesn't mean the markets are going to play ball with you. So you have to be disciplined and stop worrying about short-term stuff. Nobody owes you nice vacations. So what if your neighbor's going here and there? They're probably broke. They might be broke. They might have credit card balances of $40,000. You don't know. So stop worrying about what everyone else does. Okay? And if you want to go on a trip and you can pay cash, go wherever you want to go. And it's your life, your freedom. Some people love life with experiences more than things. So some people love to go see new things, and it's more important to them than a beautiful car. Okay? Some people love both and can't afford them. So it all depends. But nobody owes you. Nobody owes you an inheritance. Hopefully mom and dad don't spend it all. But you're not owed that money. That's theirs. If they choose to honor you with an inheritance, that's up to them. Of course, in most families, the children inherit what the parents earned and left for them. But you're not owed it, okay? So treat your parents as well as you can. Appreciate them while they're alive, and forget you're not owed anything. Nobody owes you free elder care. Just the way it is. You're not owed anything. And nobody owes you, period. So if you go with life, think about life that way, that nobody owes you anything, and you got to earn what you do, that's the way you'll be successful in life, okay? So think about life that way. You're responsible for your own life, and whether you have a good one or a bad one, it's up to you. Do not whine. Do not complain. Do not procrastinate. Get off your duff and get going. And as a famous football coach, Bill Belichick, says, do your job. We have Kelly from Ledyard on the line. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. O'Brien.
Everything okay with you?
Everything's okay. Everything's okay. Hanging in there, yes.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
How are you? You okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Just a quick, I don't know, comment or thought on what you're talking about right now, that nobody owes you anything. I'm just wondering about these non-essential government employees. Don't they go into these contracts knowing that if the government shuts down, they're not going to be paid? Why don't they have a backup plan for being unemployed or not getting their paychecks? Why are they not having a savings account in place from day one when they're applying for a non-essential government employee position?
That's an interesting question, but I would pick on just the people that are, due to no fault of their own, are left without a paycheck, okay? And that's what you're going to find out. Thanks for calling, Kelly, by the way.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. But Many times when you get laid off temporarily or permanently, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. So Kelly's talking about the government workers, but I'm going to take it as a general question. Guy came in my office the other day. He's over 50. His last three jobs, he makes six figures, low six figures. The last three jobs, he was the first one laid off. Okay? And he basically said, I heard you on the radio when you said, when you're over 50 and you're making six figures, you have a giant target on your back. Okay? So you have to plan ahead. 80% of the country is living paycheck to paycheck. Okay? And it includes those workers. So I'm not going to pick on them because this is not their fault, okay, what's happened. But that being said, that 80% that's living paycheck to paycheck and not planning ahead and can't get ahead, all right, I say one thing to you, okay, all of you out there. Read David Bach's Automatic Millionaire. Start to pay yourself first. Do automated savings, and you will find your life will get a zillion times better. And now I know some of you don't have a penny to spare at the end of the month. But like Kelly mentioned, if you can plan ahead for the bad things that happen, car breaking down, this happens, that happens, life happens, and bad things happen. Okay? So you have to plan ahead. That's why Dave Ramsey advocates 3 to 6 months of monthly expenses in the bank, in the money market fund, in the bank. I know you're not earning anything on it, but that's not the point. That's not investing. That's your safety reserve. So thank you, Kelly, for calling in. And I hope all these people get their paychecks going again. More importantly, I hope they learn a lesson that if you live paycheck to paycheck, you are so exposed. You're so vulnerable. And the stress from that. The sleepless night. Think of these people and their families and their loved ones and their kids hear the parents talking about it or arguing, worst arguing, and the stress it's causing these kids throughout the country. This really, really bothers me. And so if we can get these people to plan ahead, read David Bach's book, Automatic Millionaire, and start automatically savings and put away 3 to 6 months so when bad stuff like this happens, they're ready. They're ready. So thanks, Kelly, for your call in any case. Anyway, if you'd like to sit down and get your financial life in order, please give me a call during the week at 860-415-9614 or email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com. Thanks for listening to the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. We'll be back in a few. Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, your host here. My office is located at exit 90 off I-95 in Mystic, Connecticut, down from Steakloft. So anyway, let's talk about Bill Belichick for a second. The Pats. Well, they're not playing this weekend. I guess it's next weekend, right? And they're playing down in Atlanta and everything else. So why did I switch my allegiance from the New York Giants to the New England Patriots in 1993, okay? I grew up a Giants fan. I grew up in the New York area, young man. All my friends were Giants fans. I used to go to Giants games. My friend Brian, wherever you are out there, thank you. He decided to get married in January of 87. And that happened to be the same weekend the Giants were going to the Super Bowl against Denver, Super Bowl 21. He says, you want my tickets? I said, heck yeah, I'll take them. Booked the flight, went out there with this other guy, Brendan. And we had the weekend, went to the Super Bowl. Giants were losing 10-9 at the half. Phil Simms went crazy, 21 or 23 or something. And Phil McConkey, Mark Bavaro, Morris was the running back. Just great game, and they wound up winning 38-24 or something like that. Loved it. I'm a diehard Giants fan. Love Bill Parcells. Just thought, you know, nobody makes excuses under Bill Parcells. Nobody owed you a thing. If you're injured, you better be in the hospital. That was his motto. All right? So Bill Parcells coaches them again. They go to another Super Bowl. Loved the Giants, okay? Loved their defensive coach. Who was the defensive coordinator of the Giants in the 80s? Bill Belichick. Coached the greatest football player that ever lived, Lawrence Taylor. Greatest instinctual football player I have ever seen. The guy could be out all night. He'd show up with two ladies on his arm Saturday morning, smelling like booze, go out and get three sacks. The guy was just an amazing football player. Okay? So what happened in 1993? Well, I moved up here in 87, still love my Giants, would yell at the TV, scaring the kids, everything else. In 1993, something happened. Now, you have to remember, the futility of the Giants in the 60s and 70s was terrible. And I remember those days. And I now remember the glory days. So in 1993, Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells retires, okay? Everybody knew that Bill Belichick should have been the coach. He was a genius. The players called him a genius. The defensive scheme he had in the Giants went over the Buffalo. Bills were a much more explosive team. But Belichick had devised explosive. This is own. It was brilliant. And he just disrupted them, and they won their second Super Bowl. So what happens? All of a sudden, the Giants announced George Young, okay, who was smart enough to hire Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, all right, makes the dumbest move in football history. He hates Bill Belichick, hates him with a passion. So he hires a guy named Ray Hanley, the receivers coach, as the head coach of the Giants in 93. And I turned to my wife and I said, no, I'm not going back to the feudal bad days again. I'm not. I'm up here. I live in New England. The Patriots were terrible, but they were local. I was going to go root for them. I just said, I'm not rooting for the Giants. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. So, Ray Hanley, of course, is terrible. The Giants are terrible. And the Patriots, I'll go to a Patriots games, fights would break out in that old stadium. There'd be drunks, beer flying. And I said, what did I sign up for here? But I said, well, they're the local team. I'm going to root for them. And Robert Kraft, besides, he takes over the team. I think he paid $140 million for the team. That's worth $4 billion now. And being as smart as he is, he can't get the money out of Massachusetts, right? So he goes down, and John Rowland's dumb enough to believe that Kraft would build a stadium in Hartford opposed to Boston. And the reason I say Rowland was dumb enough to believe it is because the NFL was never going to give up the TV money, the Boston TV market. Because NFL is all about TV. Stands, everything else, that's nice. But it's all about the TV money. And they weren't going to give it up. And Kraft knew that. But he needed someone to scare Massachusetts. And Rowland was dumb enough to fall for it. We're going to get a stadium and everything else. And everybody got mad when Kraft ran back to Massachusetts, which was his plan all along, and got what he wanted, which was a new stadium. Okay? And then Kraft, being as smart as he is, realizes he doesn't know zip about football and then being a fan and everything else. So he hires the genius. And you remember the genius was going to go work for the Jets. Next day, he resigns from the Jets. He goes to work for Kraft because Kraft gave him total control. He was GM, coach, everything. And they sat back and watched. And a year or two later, who does the genius draft in the sixth round? This Michigan kid that was too skinny, too slow, but he always seemed to be at the end of the football games the guy the coach had to put in to pull it out. Recognize him? Tom Brady, right? So, and then, of course, the Patriots go on this fantastic run for the last 15, 16 years. Now, in an alternative universe, which sometimes I run these in my head, what if George Young hadn't been a bozo and had hired Bill Belichick instead? What if the Giants had picked Tom Brady in 01, which could have been, right? And what if the Giants had been this dominant thing? So, you know, it just goes to show you why I became a Patriots fan, because I knew, I saw dumbness, and I didn't understand why, and I asked a lot of people that knew the team a lot better than me, and when I heard the answer, I just went, no, I'm not going to do, no, no. I just got mad, and I loved them, but no. And so, do I love the Patriots? I'm a fan of the Patriots. I've been to their games, and I love it. I'll be honest with you, I don't have the same fervor I had as a young man. You just have that once in your life. Sorry, that's just the way it is, and everything else. So, I'm going to tell you one more story. A lady came in to see me this week, okay? I had met her the week before. She wanted to come down and talk. And she had bounced around different insurance agencies after takeovers. You know, Brown & Brown comes in, buys this agency. They make promises, but, you know, people go, they run it very, very different. They're called in the industry, insurance agency industry, a consolidator, okay? And they buy your agency, things are going to change there, trust me. She bounced around after a few takeovers, and she had a tough time of it. She had raised, after the divorce, she's been a single mom, raised three kids. You know, tough time. Got married in the last 10 years, remarried a guy, and they're building a life together, okay? So we talked about her dream of having her own agency, but she can't give up her salary right now because it's half of their household income. So it would be a huge risk to the household. And the husband would be awake nights worrying if this thing's going to work, because his future's tied into it too. I liked her immediately, okay? Because I recognized right off, she was a fighter. And in her 50s, she still had that fire in her eyes that she wanted to succeed, okay? I'll be honest with you. If I have a soft spot for people, it's that person that's been knocked down a few times and is a fighter, okay? And I told her toward the end of our talk in the office, I said, listen, I told her that I believe that if she believed, like I did, that she wanted to go from $50,000 a year to $250,000 a year on her own, we could figure out a way to get it done. She stared at me for like 30 seconds, and I could see the emotions passing through her. I told her I believed in her, and I knew that after meeting her, that I had met her the week before because she was running a meeting, and I knew in 30 seconds, I said, she has it, whatever it is. She knew she just has that drive, and she wants to succeed. And despite being knocked down in life, she never gave up on her dream and everything else. So after I told her I believed in her and what she was, I think she could do this and what could, you know, quadruple, quintuple her income, you know, she stared at me for like 30 seconds, you know. She hesitated for a while, kind of smiled, and then said, I'm sure she's glad I drove down to Mystic today. And we both laughed and everything else. You know, I believe very strongly in backing people that know that nobody owes them a thing, you know. And that's the reason for this show this week, is to tell you out there, get going. Nobody owes you a thing. Don't believe the media. Don't believe the politicians. Nobody owes you a thing. You have to do it yourself. You and your spouse, you and your family, if you're alone, you and your kids. All right? So it's very, very important for you when it comes to the money side, okay, to talk to your children. Okay, whether you're struggling or doing, you've done very, very well. Very important, even if the children are grown up, talk to them about money, stuff like that. I've had people come in my office, a very difficult parent, spent a lot of money, didn't tell the kids what was going on, got in trouble, the kids come in to help and realize, you know, mom didn't really know what she was doing, okay, and struggle and everything else. And mom refused to talk about it. So I know you have situations where you can't control it if your older elderly parent doesn't want to talk about it. But it's very, very strong to keep trying. And I know it's frustrating. Believe me, I know. And everything else. But thanks for listening today, everybody. We kind of went off subject a little bit, but sometimes it's not all about money. Sometimes it's about family, love, and everything else. And I really enjoy doing the show, and I hope it helps you all. And please feel free to reach out to me during the week if you'd like. Go to O'BrienRetire.com, email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com, or call me at 860-415-415-9614. I just had one of those blip moments. In any case, thanks for listening, guys. It's your wonderful audience, the listeners that come in. I love chatting and getting to know you. But in any case, have a great week. Stay warm and keep the snow away. Bye-bye now.